Government sucks at doing stuff.
You're listening to the Pursuit of Happiness Radio. Good for you.
The government are a bunch of clowns.
The Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
Guns don't kill people. The government does.
The Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
The American government lies to you.
The Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
It's the government, all right? People don't work there because they're geniuses.
The Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
We have less brains in Washington right now than we've ever had since we've been a nation.
Scientists discovered a virus that spent 48,000 years in the ice. And after they unearthed it, it spoke. No, really, it said, Joe Biden's still alive? It was shocked. It could not even believe it. Hi, Kenny Webster here with comedian Tim Mathis. Thank you very much. That's what comedians say. Yep. Performing this weekend at Operation Comedy Therapy. And Tim, you were a local comic. You moved out to the West Coast, but now you tour all over the country. If people want to keep up with you on social media, a comedian who's actually funny and doesn't hate America and use your podium to expel liberal talking points, where would they go to find you?
The best way to follow me is on Instagram or Twitter. I am on both at Tim Mathis Comedy. On Instagram, I usually just post, you know, about shows coming up and stuff like that. Didn't have to post for this one because it's sold out. Sold out, baby.
Yeah.
But on Twitter, it's usually just anti-war stuff. I'm really fed up with our military-industrial complex, and I talk a lot about the whole virus situation where, you know, the government created a virus that killed 6.6 million people.
They did.
And then we're acting like it didn't happen. That's really weird.
And we all just, whatever, that it happened, no big deal. And everybody knows that.
Yeah, everybody, like, at this point, you know, the people that were called liars and racist for bringing it up in 2020, we've all been proven right, you know, that this thing most likely, I mean, I don't see how anybody can really with a straight face argue that it didn't come from gain of function research that our tax money went towards, and whether or not intentionally or unintentionally it got out and it killed a lot of people.
Yeah, it sure did. And it's amazing, too, because you hear people talk all the time in both parties. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do about communist China? Apparently, we're just going to collaborate with them to kill people.
Yeah, that's what I actually tweeted out the other day. I said, we live in a timeline where the Chinese and U.S. government paid a U.K. private entity, EcoHealth, to create a virus that killed 6.6 million people, and we're all just acting like it didn't happen. That is blowing my mind.
And most people are bored with it. They don't even, we were watching stand-up comedy the other night on Netflix, and every comic that's released a special, big comics over the last year, have at least a section of their special that's about the pandemic.
Yeah.
And my wife, and I don't disagree with her, she doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm sick of hearing about the pandemic. Me too, but also it's still technically going on and it's still affecting your life.
Yeah.
And aren't you pissed? Like, aren't you?
Well, and here's the reason why we need to keep talking about it until they at least admit what they did. Because if we don't, they are going to do it again.
And get away with it.
In fact, I think it was Boston University just made a strain of COVID that was has an 80% mortality rate.
Yeah, they're still doing gain-of-function research. They haven't stopped.
What is going on? Like, why, at minimum, we should stop this? But that's one of the main reasons why they don't want to talk about it, because it's going to destroy their research funding.
We've learned nothing.
No, we've learned nothing except for they're going to keep doing it.
Now, you're not an epidemiologist. You're not a politician.
No, yeah.
You can spread awareness and try to make it funny for people, but you actually moved from Texas out to California to do movies.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's not going too bad. Like I said earlier, you know, the pandemic kind of hurt that situation as far as the momentum we had going, but the problem is they're not making the movies that I went out there to make. I don't know what they're called, but, you know, frat guy type comedies. Not just a bunch of penis jokes. I think I can say that word.
You can
on
say
air.
Penis. Yeah, we say it a lot on the radio.
Not just a bunch of, you know, potty humor or nothing, but, you know, just comedy that is just comedy. You know, if you think about a lot of big comedy movies, the few that are out there, it's always a comedy and also this. You know, it's a dark comedy, or it's a horror comedy, or it's a rom-com, obviously, is still very prevalent. But, I wanted to just do comedy with jokes You know,
what a radical concept.
Yeah.
You just
really
wanted
weird.
It to be funny.
I just wanted it to be funny. So they don't really make those movies out there right now. You know, we're trying to make our own. So that's the road we're taking.
Yeah, I want that. Mm-hmm. I just want to laugh. Comedy is my favorite thing. And yeah. There's no comedy movies coming out.
No, not just straight comedy, you know.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's a lot of the studios. So here's the reason the studios mess up is comedy doesn't have to be an expensive production. You know, if the writing is good and if the performances are good, you don't need the biggest names. But what ends up happening is anytime they get a script that they think is halfway decent, they load it with these big name talent. You know, and they might get a big name director or something, and it inflates the budget. So then the budget is so inflated that when they release it or put it on streaming or whatever, they're taking a loss. So instead of saying, oh, we need to start making comedies with lower budgets like we used to, you know, stuff like Caddyshack. And I mean, Friday, for example, Friday is a good example of what we're doing.
Not an expensive movie.
I think it was $3.5 million in like 1993 that they made that on.
And it's iconic.
And it's iconic. And that's the whole point. You don't need big money to make a hit comedy, but Hollywood is obsessed with, you know, inflating the budgets. And then once the movies don't make money, they blame it on the genre. You know, they say, oh, well, comedies don't sell. Like, no, it's sold. You just overspent for it.
Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Wedding Crashers.
Mm-hmm.
None of these movies cost a lot of money to make. Yes, it's true. Those featured
some big
stars.
A little bit more, yeah.
Because they had Vince Vaughn and Owen
But, for
Wilson.
Example, there's a old, and it's a dark comedy, but if you ever haven't seen it, go ahead and look it up. It's called The Foot Fist Way.
Of course.
It's one of the first movies that Danny McBride really made it big on. They made that movie for $77,000.
Yeah, Danny McBride is in movies like, of course, he's in Kenny Powers, Eastbound and Down. Mm-hmm. He did all this stuff with Will Ferrell. But before all that happened, Will Ferrell and his writing partner, Adam McKay, I think is his name, discovered this guy who made an independent comedy film about a martial arts instructor mm-hmm. in the South and his quest to be famous and rich.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious.
It's a very funny movie.
It's one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. And you're right. It costs nothing to make.
Mm-hmm.
People at this radio station make more in a month than they cost them to make that thing.
Yeah, and it's a very funny movie. So if you haven't seen Foot Fist Way, but that's just an example of the type of movies that I just don't think they're making. And if they are, they're required to be independent, you know?
Yeah, well, could be worse. Hey, quick break. Michael Quinn Sullivan coming up in a little bit. We're going to call Brandon Darby from Breitbart and a whole lot more. Operation Comedy Therapy, sold-out comedy show this weekend at the Giant Texas Bourbon Distillery. My buddy Tim Mathis, the hilarious comedian, hanging out with me right now, getting ready for it.
This is Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
We're back. Oi to you two. This is a Jewish rock band, Tim. Have you ever heard this band before?
No.
They're great. It's called AC/DC. Apparently they're Jewish. They say oi a lot.
Oh.
Oi. Yeah. It's cool.
I thought maybe it was an AC/DC Jewish cover band and you were trying to mess me up.
No, it's new. They're new. That's a new band.
I didn't want to get Kanye'd.
Tim, thank you. You won't get Kanye. No. Tim Mathis is here, hilarious stand-up comedian, performing this weekend with Alex Stein, Jesse Payton, and Eric Knowles at Operation Comedy Therapy. On the line right now, our good buddy Michael Quinn Sullivan comes in every week for a little review of some of the most bizarre news stories happening in and around the state of Texas, stuff you would be hearing about if the liberal media wasn't so broken. Michael Quinn Sullivan, you're traveling. You're abound today. You're off on a road trip somewhere. You're not hiding a corpse somewhere in the desert of West Texas, are you?
Well, I wouldn't be hiding it very well if I told you and all of our friends in radio land.
That's a fair point. What are you doing in Dallas? It's probably giving a speech or something, aren't you?
I'll tell you what, I am so excited right now because I am driving up to Dallas. I've got a truck full of engraved cavalry swords, so I am trafficking weapons up to Dallas, and we're going to be presenting to grassroots activists, folks at our Conservative Leader Awards Dinner. We do this every year, and honoring men and women who've been nominated by their peers for their work in advancing the cause of liberty on kind of the front lines of the fight. So that's why we give them engraved cavalry swords. So it's a fantastic event.
I love that you described it as trafficking weapons, because what you're doing is actually quite innocent. And what the people at Liberty ISD are doing...
Oh, there's traffic and I've got weapons.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And what the people at Liberty ISD just did, not that innocent. A report today at TexasScorecard.com details how a whole bunch of former Liberty ISD employees, mostly women, have been arrested for endangering special needs kids. This is a public school in Texas. This is very frustrating. Michael, tell us what happened there and what we should take away from this.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely horrifying that the actions of these women are accused, you know, guy used accused and allegedly and all that kind of stuff,
sure,
of doing to these special needs kids. Now, the good news is when it was found out, they were suspended. Now they've been arrested. So the good news is that in Liberty ISD, at least on the back end, the system is working. But I think a lot of us have to ask, well, what was happening on the front end? How are these folks hired? What is your screening process? And I think these are the kind of questions, when we look around the state, sadly, the situation in Liberty ISD, while it appears the school district is cooperating with police and is cooperating with authorities to get these you know, bad people away from kids, that's not the case in so many other places around the state, where from Round Rock ISD to all sorts of other places around the state, where you do see people taking advantage of of these adults taking advantage of special needs kids, and goodness, this is where we have to ask some really fundamental questions about who we're hiring in these public schools and we're spending. Huffines Liberty Foundation reported this week that we have spent $1 trillion of money in Texas on public education in the past 20 years, $1 trillion. And so we have to ask ourselves, what are we getting for that? And we should be getting something better than special needs kids being abused in school districts around the state.
Boy, you said it. You know, you could judge a society based on how they treat the most vulnerable among them, especially young children. I can't think of a better example of that than this. It's absolutely horrifying. This is such a great argument for school choice, for the school voucher programs, the school choice movement. And another report today, TexasScorecard.com, gives information pertaining to how a bunch of bills have just been proposed that are supposed to lay out the groundwork for upcoming school choice fights in the states. Corey DeAngelis, a big proponent of this in both Texas and Arizona, and I know he's a friend of yours, a peer of what you guys do, an ally of you guys here as well. We appreciate him. Interestingly enough, the the lawmakers putting this together, state reps Matt Shaheen and Mays Middleton, who apparently is now a Texas state senator, they're the ones involved in this. First of all, what are your thoughts on them, and what do you think about the bill they proposed? Is this going far enough?
But both good guys, both mean well. I would suggest it's not yet going far enough, but goodness, given where we are in Texas when it comes to educational freedom for parents and making sure kids get the best education possible, any movement forward is good movement forward. What should be striking to us, I'm gonna pick on your public school teachers again for a second.
Please.
We did a survey earlier in the week of, surveyed 25,000 random public school teachers, and we asked them about a series of questions, and we asked them particularly what view comes closest to you. Then we asked readers the same question. What we found was that 66% of public school teachers want to ban or tightly regulate homeschools and private schools in Texas, and another 33% just want more money thrown into public education. They don't want school choice. They don't want more charter schools. They don't want parents controlling how their kids are educated. When you left these six options, 100% either want to ban, regulate private and public schools, or throw more money into public schools. This is very frustrating, and it does kind of explain why you've got all these weak-kneed Republicans around the state who are scared to death of their liberal Democrat teacher union member constituents. And yet aren't afraid enough, apparently, of parents and taxpayers.
Yeah, there's speaking of kids and protecting kids and doing what's best for Texas kids. Another disturbing news story today. Apparently today, the House of Attorneys, San Antonio's premier BIPOC alternative drag troupe. I'm not sure I even know what that Black Indigenous Persons of Color drag troupe is hosting, an all-ages drag show that includes a toy drive showing Rudolph of the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and then the people performing there, a bunch of dudes with boobs wearing pasties on their man jugs. Michael, this is just one big mess. This is so bizarre. Why do we need to do this to kids?
Yeah, look, I mean, this just feels like everyone after listening to this now needs to wash their eyeballs and ears with bleach, because all three things have not been exactly fun. But, you know, look, this is the encouraging thing here. You know, here's me, rosy colored glasses on a Friday afternoon. The good news is this kind of stuff has been going on for a while now. For 8 years running in the city of Amarillo, they have had a Christmas all ages drag show for kids. And you've got this thing in San Antonio going on later today. But for the first time, people are calling it out. People are trying to stand up against this nonsense. People are starting to say enough's enough. People are tired of being cowed and threatened with cancel culture and whatever else, because we got to protect our kids. We are seeing the horror of suicide from these children who suffer from gender dysphoria or other things, and just kind of get walked along the merry path of their dysphoria rather than being loved into something better. And I think that, you know, people are starting to wake up and are starting to speak out. And so we are starting, while we are seeing these things, it feels like more and more, we're also seeing people stand up and fight back. And that's really encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, why do we need to show adult entertainment to kids? Isn't it enough to just let adults watch and leave that alone?
Yeah, this is, you know, the left has been all about sexualizing kids for a long time. All of us on the right, you know, we don't want to say that because we want to pretend like they're our friends. No, they actually want something different. They're actually trying to do something different. And we need to fight against that. We've got to put aside the, let's all go have a drink at the country club after our debate mentality and recognize we're in a war for our culture and we're in a war for our republic. The other side's fighting and we're standing around arguing about whether or not, you know, it's worth it to engage. It's absolutely worth it to engage.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's mad at Kanye today, and rightfully so. He said some really dumb things, but I noticed all the liberal celebrities that are out attacking him had nothing to say about Balenciaga, but hey, I digress. Hey, but getting back to Texas legislature here, there's new bills out to take care of this thing with the drag queen stuff too, isn't there?
There are, and I'll tell you, Brian Slayton, state representative from up in North Texas, as well as Bob Hall and Tony Genderholt, these guys have been talking about this issue for a while, and they are, you know, they have not let up. They've been, you know, for a couple years running told, oh, shut up, quit talking about it. They haven't stopped talking about it. And this is the point of the show where you say, hey, persistence matters. You know, don't stop when you see an abuse out there, whether you're a legislator or a citizen.
Yeah, well put, my man. That is the voice of Michael Quinn Sullivan. I often call him the most dangerous man in Texas politics, probably the most dangerous man in Texas conservative media. Liberals and Democrats hate him, but you know who else hates my buddy Michael Quinn Sullivan? Rhinos. Rhinos don't like him either, and that's how you know he's on the right side of history. Check out his work at TexasScorecard.com, an incredible news outlet that actually does honest reporting that affects your life. Imagine that. What a concept.
They like to say they give dirty politics a bad name. Back to the pursuit of John Bon Jovi. No, okay. Back to pursuit of happiness radio. And on a steel horse they ride. Wanted, dead or alive.
Wanted, dead or alive.
Friends, 713-212-5950 if you want to call KPRC Radio. I wouldn't recommend it, though, but you can, you know, especially if you have questions, things you want to know. We're always trying to answer questions on this radio show. We provide you with useful information like this, for example.
Learning with Vernon, get smarter every day. Learning with Vernon, you're sure to get an A. If you've got a question and Google just won't do, you just ask Vernon, you'll have an answer soon.
Taking calls today about your favorite Christmas carols. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Vernon. In Deck the Halls, is a guy named Don wearing gay apparel?
No, back then Don meant to wear, and gay meant happy.
Okay, just checking. Now, in Silent Night...
No, it ain't Round Young Virgin.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Thanks, Vernon.
Happy holidays.
Learning with Vernon.
way.
A little update to a news story from Houston that made national headlines. There's this rap group called Migos. Tim Mathis, comedian's here. You're familiar with Migos, I'm sure.
Relatively.
It's a trio. They're three rappers. They write poppy rap songs. Mm-hmm. Not my thing, but, you know, they charted on Billboard's Top 20, that kind of thing. And earlier this year, one of the members, Takeoff is his rap name, the third member of the hip-hop trio, was shot and killed outside of a Houston bowling alley last month, downtown Houston. And apparently...
Do they take bowling that seriously in the H?
I guess what happened was...
My goodness.
It's a fair
question.
He
was over the line, Don.
Apparently what happened was the bowling alley was closed and they were hanging out afterwards playing dice.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. I think more people have gotten killed over dice than over bowling.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and say that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably true. All right, so Mob Ties is what exactly is Mob Ties? It's a record label, I guess. The CEO of Mob Ties, Prince Jr., has come under fire on Twitter for walking past Takeoff's lifeless body in a video. There's a video where the guy dies, and then another rap mogul is seen in the video, just walks past him. There was a video footage of the aftermath of the shooting. When people, including Quavo, I guess is another
member, were
calling for help for Takeoff, who had just been shot. In the video, some say this guy, Jay Prince Jr., are you familiar with him?
I am, yeah. Well, I'm not very familiar with him, but
he's a big Houston rap producer.
Yeah.
He can be seen walking past without offering assistance, and so now a lot of people speculate this guy probably had something to do with it. Mob Ties, here we go. It's a streetwear brand, which stands for Movement of Bosses Together in Elevated Structure. That sounds like a desperate attempt to make the word Mob Ties into a...
Into an acronym, right.
Founded by Jay Prince Jr., who comes from hip-hop heritage, his father, James Prince, started Rap-A-Lot Records in the 1980s.
And
he's known for helping get Drake and Lil Wayne signed to record labels and discovered Drake on MySpace in 2006. And I guess, does it shock anybody that rap moguls from Houston might be connected to...
I know enough about Jay Prince to know you shouldn't speculate about Jay Prince.
Like, what will he do to me? I've
heard, you know, the word on the street is that he is some way connected to something, and I don't want to be involved in that.
Okay. Well, he's the famous record label owner of a notorious gangster rap label from the 90s. So I guess the obvious point to be made here is, how could he not be connected to gangsters?
That's true.
It's right there in the job title. At what point, you know, because gangster rap, you don't know, no one's shocked when Kanye says something crazy. He's crazy.
Yeah.
But Kanye is not even a gangster rapper.
No.
Nobody's shocked when gangster rappers act like gangsters.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting that it's still a thing? It's like, because this has been going on my whole life. Back in the 90s, I remember people, I was a teenager. You were too. We're about the same age. How old are you?
That was, I'm 41.
I'm 40. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the whole West Coast, East Coast rap war beef, all that stuff. Suge Knight. Holding Vanilla Ice upside down.
That's a real thing?
Yeah, it really happened.
That's a real thing that happened, so he could get the record, so he could get him to sign a contract.
It's interesting. I just watched, you were talking about TikTok, a friend of mine. I'm not on TikTok, but a friend of mine showed me a TikTok video where I think she's probably about 20 years old. She didn't know that Snoop Dogg beat a murder charge. They were listening to this. She was listening to Murder Was the Case with her boyfriend, and she was like, wait, they charged him with murder? Like, yeah.
That used
to be real.
Well, there's so much weird stuff in the news all the time, and there always has been. So some of these things that involve pop culture figures, like rappers or pop culture, you forget that in the 90s, Murder Was a Case That They Gave Me was a hit song at the radio, on the radio, at the same time that Snoop Dogg was on trial for murder.
Yeah.
And he got off for it, and now he hangs out with Martha Stewart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's the real criminal, let's be honest.
Well.
Those holiday... programs that are just mind worms to any female over the age of 14. It's terrible.
You say that in jest, but she went to prison for insider trading.
Yeah.
But what she did is nothing compared to what Nancy Pelosi does all the time.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, obviously.
Hey, you mentioned TikTok. Coming up in a little bit, my buddy Brandon Darby is going to be calling in. Brandon Darby, Breitbart, Texas. You're familiar. Controversial journalist. Brandon thinks that TikTok should be illegal. What do you think?
They got to do something. I know too many people. I'm not a big fan of social media in general, and I honestly think that TikTok, whatever algorithm they're using, it might be the most addictive thing I've ever seen. In LA, I'll just see people just scrolling TikTok videos nonstop for hours sometimes, and it's just crazy.
I will never. in my adult life, now, today, or yesterday, make videos where I lip sync to stupid comedy scenes and like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't have to get it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well, you remember Twitter used to be like the hip place for young people. Now it's for jaded middle-aged people like us.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's always something new coming out that old people like us don't know about.
Well, we always end up where we belong, apparently.
Yeah.
This is Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
The fashion industry has solved one of our problems. No, this isn't about Balenciaga. You can now buy cargo shorts that hold a hot pocket and it warms them for you. And they're available in size small through extra large. I'll let you guess which size is already sold out, Tim Mathis. I'm sure you probably already know the answer to that question. Would you wear a hot pocket?
Would I wear a hot pocket?
Well, that's what it is. You put it on. It's cargo shorts. You put them on and, you know.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be too proud to wear hot pocket shorts?
Nah.
What's the best flavor of hot pocket?
I'm partial to the meatball marinara.
Oh, all right.
Sounds like some Texas justice to me. I like it.
And now, live from the border, it's Breitbart's Brandon Darby with the Cartel Chronicles, only on KPRC Radio.
He is the Darby who would be Brandon. He's a good friend of the show. Brandon's come to town many times to do speaking events for us. But he is often in undisclosed locations somewhere. Brandon, would you wear the Hot Pocket cargo shorts?
No.
Would you eat a Hot Pocket?
Yes.
an aristocrat.
I would. Ham and cheese. I like them, yeah.
They are good.
I don't eat them. I haven't had them since I was a teenager, but I do. You know, there's. I would eat one, yeah.
Yeah, why not? Hey, let's talk about social media for a minute. Everybody's focusing on Elon Musk and Kanye, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But there's a story today at your website I thought was very interesting about how TikTok accounts, we all know about TikTok, operated by the Chinese Communist Party, are pushing these divisive videos about U.S. politicians. And some people are actually suggesting this is an example of election interference by a foreign government. Brandon, would you agree with that?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with it. It's what it is. TikTok is a way that China can dupe U.S. persons into giving them their data. That's how I see TikTok. They are, in fact, sharing their data with the government of China. And I don't think that's a good thing. I think China is an enemy to us. I think that the way that we look at life and liberty and freedom, and the way that they pursue what they call harmony, which is making sure that no one speaks out or causes disruption, I think that is anathema to everything we are, everything we are about. I love liberty, and they are the anti-liberty.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I'm a liberty guy, too, obviously. I think as long as people aren't hurting anyone else, they should be able to use whatever smartphone apps they want. I recommend the Walton & Johnson smartphone app, available for free right now in the Google and iPhone Play Stores. But, hey, question for you, though. If this app is hurting people, and it appears to be, it certainly seems to be changing the flow of history as we know it right before our very eyes, should this be legal, Brandon? Should the American government allow it?
I think on national security grounds, no. But I think there's a lot with that. I mean, I think, you know, companies that are owned by the government of China have Grindr now, right? Why do they want Grindr? They want Grindr because Grindr shares more location data and more data about the individual, right? So people say, well, they can't see who you are just because they have your advertiser ID. It's like, yeah, they can, because what they can do is look at your advertiser ID and your location. And they can say, where does that device sleep at night? Where does that device get plugged in and not active? Where is someone sleeping with that device? And then they can find your address. And they can see people don't realize how intimate these advertiser IDs on your cell phones. Anyone who has a smartphone, they are so intimate. People can see where you are down to 4 to 9 feet, sometimes 30 feet, but you would know that, right? You would know that looking at the app data. So, you know, you can see if someone's sharing a bedroom with someone. If you can see if someone, you know, if where someone went every 4 to 8 minutes of their life for the last, since we've been collecting app data, 2015, 2016? that's pretty intimate. Like, imagine the uses of that politically, right? So imagine if you're the government of China and you go, hey, there's this conservative politician who's married, and we can see that he's on Grindr. We can see where he's hooked up with other men and when he's this. And now all of a sudden, what do they have? They have blackmail data. They have blackmail material. They have, I mean, this is not good, man. This is not good. And so I think when it comes, we should say, hey, if you're an app and you share information with the government of China, you're not legal in the U.S. Not only are you not legal in the U.S., but we're going to take everything you own if your data ends up in China. Don't let it happen. That's what I think we ought to do. I think it's that much of a threat to us. You know, you got to understand, you can look at a military base and you can see this was a problem with the Fitbit. When the Fitbit data got leaked, they could see the sorties and who was on shift and where they were walking and where they were guarding and where. You can't have that. Like, we can't have that as a country. That's a complete national security threat.
Yeah, I'm with you. I there's no doubt in my mind, even though that was just a wild hypothetical that you threw out there about a lawmaker being on Grindr, there's no doubt in my mind that there is probably a lawmaker on Grindr that didn't want his wife to know. I mean, look at Andrew Gillum, the former Florida gubernatorial candidate. But all that being said, so we know it happens. We know it takes place, Brandon. We know that on January 6th, Google has just handed over data to the State Department and the federal government about who was in the city that day based on their iPhone data. And what amazes me about this, Brandon, is how are there so many people out there that don't understand how just the average iPhone or Android smartphone is sharing all kinds of information about you all the time, constantly, with politicians, big government officials, even foreign rogue agencies?
Well, but it shares it with anyone. Anyone who has enough money can access the data. And you just have to go through a vendor, and anyone can access the data, and anyone, you know, like, I can use it against cartels, and I can map out transnational criminal organizations if I so wanted to. I could map out migrant routes. You could look at a dope house and go, well, who all's been in that dope house, right? Who all has been in that drug house, and who's been in that drug house? What device has been near a device from that drug house from another city? And now you're getting drug dealers. Well, that might be good, but there's a lot of things that wouldn't be good. Like, who's sleeping with who? What if you're a stalker and you use it against a woman? What if this is not good, man. We have a serious problem. And the thing is even with all that I know about this, I still use a smartphone.
Sure.
Now there's things you can do to limit your exposure, but I still use a smartphone. Why? Because even though I know the security threat, even though I know the privacy threat, I enjoy having information at my fingertips.
Of course, yeah.
And I enjoy Twitter, and I enjoy reading emails, and I enjoy being able to work from a mobile device while I go to the lake or while I go eat barbecue and answer emails from work while I'm eating ribs and, you know, with trying to keep the barbecue off my screen, right?
Yeah, same with us. Right.
Like that, so that's the problem. Even though we know it, we still do it. But ultimately, there's going to have to be something done about our privacy, because this is too much of a threat to it. People are just starting to realize that. But when it comes to hostile foreign governments, determining, like, who are the people who work at nuclear facilities, right? Well, which room of the White House is the president in? Where are the different political leaders who all have smartphones? Can we see where they are? These are national security threats that we ultimately are not going to have to, we're not going to have to do something about. But in the meantime, things like TikTok, which are so clearly ending up with U.S. sensitive U.S. data and personal information being in the hands of China. I just think we gotta ditch that, man. We gotta do something about it.
I'm with you, Brandon. We only have a couple minutes left, but before we go, one more thing I wanted to ask you about. One of your former coworkers, and you and him are not really politically aligned. I know that for a fact. Milo Yiannopoulos has been traveling around the country. It's been a long time since he worked at Breitbart.com. His life's changed a lot. He's been traveling around America with Kanye West and another Holocaust denier named Nick Fuentes. Yesterday, they appeared on the Alex Jones Show on InfoWars, in which Alex Jones seemed to be the breath of common sense and fresh air as well.
I see good things about Hitler also. I love everyone. I'm done with the classifications. Every human being has something of value that they brought to the table. especially Hitler.
It just kept getting weirder and weirder. He posted swastikas on social media overnight. He got kicked off Twitter. Alex Jones was like, dude, the Nazis were horrible. I guess Kanye West disagreed. Brandon, what are your thoughts on all this?
Man, this isn't the first time that a celebrity or someone with a big platform has decided they had tiger blood, you know, and
that's right.
And, you know, went nuts. But the problem is, you know, racial hatred, man, or racial resentment, especially against Jews, has had a very bad tendency to result in violence. I think giving that space and room and air is very, very dangerous. I don't like it at all. And I just appalled that someone would think that way. But that said, I think he has the right to think that way. You know, I think he has the right to think that way. I have the right to say what I think about it. You know, I know that I don't want anything to do with it, right? Like I'm about as liberty-minded as can be. But if Republicans go down this line and start, you know, tickling the tail of anti-Semitism and start inviting these people to dinner, you know, I look at this with Trump and they say, well, Trump didn't realize who Nick Fuentes was. Nobody knew who Kanye was. And when you invite people who are saying what Kanye is saying on his platform and using it the way he's using it to your house for dinner, then you can expect that something else like that is going to happen. So I would vote for a communist, a socialist, before I would vote for someone that's tickling the tail and not taking a strong stance against that stuff. I want nothing to do with it, man. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with, you know, people talking about IQ levels in Africa, all these kind of racist, you know, mess that we're seeing right now, which if you really get into the heart of it, if you actually have the conversation, it's illegitimate. They're illegitimate studies. They're illegitimate. I'm not going to have this conversation again. I'm not going to have a conversation about whether or not Jews control the world and do we need to do something about them, some solution. I'm not having that conversation, right? It's not happening. That conversation happened in the 1930s, and I'm not having it again. I'm not spending my limited time in life dealing with that, accepting that, inviting that in, supporting that in any way. I will have nothing to do with that kind of stuff. And if Republicans can't get their act together and be more forceful about making sure that their allies are not doing that, then I'm not going to be voting for them, as much as I want to vote for Republicans, right? As much as I say that, as much as I don't want to vote for leftists, I'm not playing that game.
I hear you. Brandon, we got to run. Brandon Darby from Breitbart.com. Two notable Republicans that recently shared their lives with the Kardashians. One of them became a Nazi, and the other one cut his penis off. I'm Kenny Webster with Tim Mathis and Brandon Darby from Breitbart.com. Find us this weekend at Operation Comedy Therapy. Have a great day, everybody.
Listening to the Pursuit of Happiness Radio. Tell the government to kiss your ass when you listen to this show. Ooh, ah.